and welcome to The Pulse. Now, we've had some really exciting people on the show since we got started, but today, wow, we've got Grammy winner, we've got award-winning actor, we've got somebody who's doing so many things, performing on tour, new album. It is my absolute pleasure to be joined by Macy Gray. I don't know, do we call you singer? Do we call you actor? Do we just call you Miss Gray? Good morning.
Oh, you know, I'm one of those every woman that Chaka Khan was talking about. You know?
So no labels, right? Just roll with it.
Yeah.
So I gotta tell you, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, I try, obviously, is in everybody's head. It was a song that we used to always sing. It still makes you smile when I was sitting there doing research for the interview. I have a friend who was convinced that you said, "I wear goggles when you are not near."
Oh, I know I've heard that before. That makes no sense, though.
None. It makes absolutely none.
I know, but I mess up words to songs all the time, so.
She was convinced. It
makes no sense.
No, she was convinced, and you would try to argue with her, and she would sing the song at the top of her lungs, "I wear goggles when you are not near."
Did you ask her what that means?
She had no answer. Yeah, I just had to share that story. So thank you again for spending time with us. Let's step back a little bit, because I think so many people are so familiar with your music and your acting. But I was doing research. How did you get the name? A bike mishap?
Oh, yeah. I was really little, and I fell down on my bike, and I looked up, and the mailbox said Macy Gray. And so that name just always stuck with me. You know, like when you're in school and you have to write, like, stories, like creative writing and poems and stuff. So I would always character Macy Gray. And then when I started singing, I just thought I needed an alias, because my name at the time was Natalie McIntyre till I got married. But and that just sounded really long. So my name is Macy Gray, you know, and it just stuck.
Just looked up and saw it on a mailbox and went, "That's me."
Yeah, I just went, "That's me." It was like, did you ever see the movie Boogie Nights?
Yeah.
Remember when he says, "I looked up and it said Dirk Diggler." Remember that?
Yes.
Kind of that moment.
Okay. That's the example we're going to use.
That's it.
That's the comparison we're working with. I also, you have some connections to Philly. I was just upstairs talking to somebody, and they said you got a brother who's doing big things in Philly.
Oh yeah, my brother he owns the gym Body Rock boot camp. I know I'm terrible with locations, but he's been there, gosh, about like 15 years now. It's a personal training gym. It's really awesome. He gets me in shape. He's pretty hardcore.
Well, we wanted to give them a shout out as well. So you fell on your bike, saw your stage name. I read that going back into college days, and you were writing songs, but you never really viewed yourself as a singer. You were a songwriter. Is that true?
Yeah, I've always had a knack for the pen. I've always been good at putting words together, you know? And then the thing is, though, when you write a song and somebody will say, "Well, how does it go?" And so you sing it to him, right? So I had all these little tapes, like little cassette tapes. I just aged myself, but
yeah.
With my voice on them. And then someone heard the tapes, and he had a gig every Sunday at a hotel for Sunday brunch. And he needed a singer, and he was like, "Can you learn these songs by Sunday and sing from my gig?" And that's really how I started. It was really by accident.
And I also, you now have kind of become distinguished as one of the most unique voices that's ever kind of been out there. But I also read that, like so many of us, you didn't particularly like your voice when it started, or think that you were a singer.
No, it's quirky. It doesn't really sound like, you know, when I was coming up, like, all the big singers were like Whitney and, you know, Chaka Khan and all those, and I didn't sound it, and Mariah Carey, and I couldn't sing like that, so I didn't think I had a chance, you know. But I just kept doing it, like I kept like writing and going in the studio and I liked being on stage. I just kind of was doing what I liked. I was in my early 20s and I didn't really know what I wanted to do yet anyway, so I was just doing whatever and I stuck with it and you know, and then it turned into something real, you know.
Yeah. But not liking it initially, but sticking with it. Was there a minute where it kind of clicked that, hey, like this might be something that's going to have me multi-platinum at some point? Like, did you have that moment where you kind of embraced it and loved it?
Yeah, but it was well after my album when I finally understood that I had finally accomplished something. You know, it took me a while because I was just, I don't know, I was saying, you know, but my biggest thing was I was able to buy a car and I got to travel for the first time in my life. I had never been out of the U.S. So I was like seeing the world. I was excited about my car. You know, I paid off all my mom's credit cards. You know, I was excited about stuff like that. And so it didn't really hit me about what was going on until I remember I was in New York and I got mobbed at the Gap.
So these were the small moments that impacted you.
Yeah, it was, that was really when it finally hit me. I was like, oh, well, these people know who I am, you know, like, maybe I got something. It's a little noisy. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll work through them.
Yeah, they're going to close the door in a minute. But yeah, that's really, oh my God, hold on. There we go. I was in New York. And I went to the Gap to buy my son a winter coat, and I got mobbed in the Gap.
Do you think that that's an interesting message for kind of people who are struggling with their own identity or what have you? You had a multi-platinum album. Like, you were being nominated for, you know, Grammys and winning Grammys, and you still didn't particularly like your voice? Like, the rest of the world was saying, you're this outstanding performer, and you were like, eh.
Well, I still get a lot of criticism still to this day, so, you know, I don't know, it just didn't, like I said, I was, everybody was listening to, like, Janet Jackson was huge then, and I didn't sound like that, so I thought, you know, maybe these people don't know what they're doing, but.
Well, listen, I think that aged very well for you, you know, the people who had criticism. You still get criticism about your voice, about what? People are still questioning that?
Well, you know, there's always haters, but there's, you know, there's a lot of people like, you know, she can't sing, and I don't know. I mean, I'm over that, though. That doesn't bother me anymore. But yeah, you know, people criticize Jesus, you know? You wouldn't even like Jesus. That's just the way people are, I guess.
So with all the success happening, you stay with it, you know, you stumble in, yeah. Literally stumble into a name. You stay with it, you keep writing, you get multi-platinum success. At what point did you kind of go, wow? You know, or have you still not gone, wow? Because you're 20 years into a successful career.
I know, it's been a minute. That's what I'm wowing about, that I'm still doing it, and I still like it. I still am excited about my shows. I have a record coming out July 8th. I'm excited about that. I'm doing the Philadelphia City Winery.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so excited. I'm still, I still have fun doing it, you know. So that's what I'm really grateful for. Because I know a lot of people get bored, they get jaded, or they decide, you know, they want to do other things, you know. So I'm glad that, you know, it's probably the only thing in my life that I've really stuck to, except for my kids, but I have to do that.
but you are still enjoying it. You still like the performing?
Yeah, like genuinely, I can't wait sometimes, you know.
Really?
So what's cool?
What's so cool about so we just spoke to Glenn Jones, as we've had people on kind of celebrating Black Music Month throughout June. And Glenn Jones was saying that the performance part for him is the best because you get the immediate feedback. Like, you get to feel how people feel about your music. It still makes him smile. Like, what is it for you about performing?
That's probably part of it. You just get a feeling up there that you can't get anywhere else. You know, everybody came to see you and they know the words to your song and they're sweating and they're dancing. And you say, put your hands up, and they put their hands up, you know. You say, scream, and they all scream. It's like the only time anybody ever really listens to me. Like, the only time anybody does what I tell them to do, you know. So that's probably what I like about it. It's my one and only, you know, power moment. But it's cool. I personally don't get that anywhere else, you know.
That's odd. Like, and the thing I enjoy about this show is kind of getting to talk to people like yourself and hear the difference between how they perceive themselves and how the world perceives them. Like, we were excited to talk to you, and you're kind of sitting back, nobody really listens to me. Are you serious? You got millions of people who are listening to you.
They don't, I'm telling you. I have kids. I mean, when you have kids, you kind of surrender to the fact that nobody listens to you. So maybe if I didn't have kids, I wouldn't feel that way, but I'm around my kids all the time, so, and they totally ignore me, so I'm... Where I'm at, I don't know.
So you had the success and continue to have the success through music. When did you kind of, it feels like your life as you describe it has been like stumbling from one moment of success to the next. So you stumbled into Training Day also? Did you stumble into an acting career?
Stumbled into Training Day. I did. I was at the studio and Antoine Fuqua walks in and he goes, I have this movie called Training Day and I want you to be in it. And I'm just sitting there like, oh my God, this guy is a cornball. He doesn't know what he's doing if he wants me in a movie. I've never acted before. I don't even know what he's talking about. So I didn't even read the script. I didn't take him seriously. But he kept reaching out to me. And then he invited me out to dinner. He invited me out to Mr. Chow's in Beverly Hills. And so, of course, I went, you know. And we're sitting there. And he goes, you know Denzel is in it. And I was like, what? and then I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know. But totally, yeah, it fell on my head, really. I definitely never thought I'd be in that, you know, doing any movies.
So you almost blew off the opportunity to be in the Denzel movie that ended up being an award-winning movie and launch your acting career.
Yeah, I didn't even, because I thought if he wants me in a movie, he must have no clue. And it's Antoine Fuqua, right? But I was like, he has no clue. I'm not doing it. So, and I was in the middle of my record, you know, and I was kind of focused. And you know, I had a boyfriend. I had a lot of stuff going on, you know. So, I had never been in a movie before. I'd done, like, you know, school plays and stuff. So I didn't even know if I'd be good at it. So I was like, but when he said Denzel, you know, I just wanted to meet Denzel, you know. I was like, okay, I can get a picture with Denzel.
See, these are the stories. Like, people don't know this kind of stuff. Like, it was, you just wanted a picture with Denzel, so you decided to do a movie.
No, that is totally, totally the truth. That is the honest truth. Sadly, yeah. Wow. That's how I think. Don't tell anybody.
Well, yeah, but, yeah. You may have just told some people. but all right, so you do Training Day, and obviously, you know, people see Training Day and they're like, huh, like, I she can do more than just sing. She's also acting career. And then when I was reading your bio, you've done almost as much or as many roles now in acting as music, right?
Yeah, I don't know the exact number. I've done about maybe 12 movies. Not a lot, because I tour a lot, so I end up having to turn some stuff down. But yeah, I really enjoy it. You know, I like doing it. I just, schedule wise, I haven't been able to do a whole lot of stuff.
So do you finally accept there's these journeys to your singing, to your acting? Do you accept now that you're a good actor?
All right. I mean, you know, no, you know, no, you know. Cicely Tyson or anything, but I do get the basics of it. Like I studied it, and I was going to a coach for a couple of years, and so I get the real, you know, the mechanics of it, you know. But you know, like your proper actors, they study for years and years. That's all they do, you know. They do movie after movie, so I'm not at that level. But I get the basics, you know. Like I can hold my own, you know.
I've obviously just met you, and we're just talking. You have a really unique approach, seemingly, to your life. You're just, I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna act. I'll tour. And these things just continue to line up. And it doesn't sound like, I mean, I didn't know you before 20 minutes ago, but it doesn't sound like any of this has changed you. Like, has it? Are you the same person, you know, who fell off the bike?
One second. Hold on. Yeah. Yeah, you can just, well, actually, give me one sec, okay? Okay. I was around six then, you know, I'm riding a bike, I'm falling off my bike. I was about eight or nine when I fell off my bike. Maybe 11. I'm not. But yeah, I've definitely changed since I was 11.
Okay. But has your approach to all of this success changed? You seem very, just kind of taking it in stride.
Well, yeah, at this point, you know, of course, you know, I had my self-absorbed moments, and I had my ego moments, and, you know, I've had my ups and downs, and it's definitely a journey, like you say, and things change you, you know, people change you, you know, so I think I've been a lot of different people since that time, but are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Oh. I thought you froze. Anyways, you know, I've been a lot of different people since then, but I think now I'm, you know, I'm 52 and so I'm able to, you know, really see it for what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. I think when you're in your 20s, 30s, like when I started, it was, you see it a lot differently, you know.
People seem to embrace it. And again, as I was doing the research, the thing that I saw people describing you on social media and on YouTube next to your videos and what have you. The thing that came up a lot was you remain unapologetically you. Like that's how people described you. Now, do you think that's a fair assessment? You just do you.
I mean, that's all I know. I don't know how to be anybody else. No, when people say that, I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to be doing something, you know, somebody, like, I don't know what that means.
Well, but you know, what I've heard, like other people we talked to have told all these different stories about record companies that tried to change them, or people who said you need to be something else. And you just seem like you never gave into that.
Well, only suggestion was like people to say I should dress sexier, or I should change up my hair, you know. And I did. I tried all those things, you know. But you know, it's for me. It's hard to pretend to be someone else or something that I'm not. It's not. I couldn't. That's something I couldn't stick to. You know, I couldn't pull that off for very long. You know.
So you've had several albums. You got another one coming out. Tell us about the next album we can expect.
So that's July 8th. It's called The Reset. It's a remarkable record. And I say that with all modesty, even if it was your record, I would say it was remarkable. But I'm really proud of it. It has some really interesting songs and like just straight bops, you know. You know, it's hard to describe music, but it's a great album. I'm excited for everybody to hear it. There's a few songs out now. One is called Every Night. One is called Thinking of You. One is called The Disco Song. And one is called America. And those are all out. Mm-hmm. So you can check those out, get a taste of it. But the full album is July 8th, a couple weeks.
Okay. And what is this one? And again, we are always trying to categorize you, but you've won awards in several different categories, went to, you know, number one in jazz category, but also in pop category. What's this album? Or is it just Macy Gray being Macy Gray?
Oh, actually, actually, it's kind of a collaboration. It's me and my band. They call themselves the California Jet Club. They're my touring band for like the past 10 years. And so we actually wrote this song, this album together. So it's a little more, what's the word? Well, it's collaborative. So you have, different, more influences going on. And so it's a little deeper, I think. And it inspired me to, not go a different way. It's still me, but it kind of challenged me to do different things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With my voice, with my writing. So it's exciting. I think everybody's gonna like this one.
Is this what you get a chance to kind of perform this when we see you at you're on tour, City Winery in Philadelphia, but some other stops as well. They're not huge venues. They're more intimate venues. Do you enjoy performing in that venue instead?
I like the winery. I know the owner, and they're just really good people, really good to us. But we're in Europe. I just did a festival for 10,000, and we're going to Rio in September. That's like 1 million people. And then we did Amsterdam the other day. That was like 3,000 people. So, like you said, I'm 20 years in. I can do all of them. I can stand on a little chair and sing for one person if you need me to,
But you're like 1 million people, 100,000 people touring through Europe. I mean, that's a part of it I don't think that people embrace. Like you're drawing those types of crowds 20 plus years in. Like that has to feel good.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I'm like, wow. I'm still really excited. I still can't believe it.
All right, a couple more and then we will let you go. What's next for the acting career?
I'm doing a cartoon called Sneakers. With Lawrence Fishburne and a couple other, I can't remember, but it's called Sneakers. It's I'm gonna shoot that when I get back, and then that's animated. You'll just hear my voice. Mm-hmm. And then I'm doing MTV that I'm not supposed to talk about yet. And then I'm actually writing an idea that I have. So I want to get that made in the next couple of years.
So a secret idea that we can only share with just me and you and the people who happen to be watching the show. We break news right now.
Yeah, don't tell nobody.
Yeah, just between us. Two or three rapid fire questions. I read that you had to do a public apology, almost getting arrested in Barbados. Is that the strangest thing that's happened to you during your career?
1 second. Yeah. Nope. I need a second. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. One more time.
Strangest thing that's happened during your career. I read that you almost got arrested in Barbados and had to do some kind of official apology.
Oh, right. So in Barbados, they have a law where you can't curse on stage. So I get on stage and I'm doing my thing and I'm like, blah, 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 F word, B word. I'm saying all of it, Because when I do it, usually, people like that kind of stuff. So, and I get off stage and the police are waiting for me.
Really?
It's crazy.
So you had to issue some sort of official apology or they were going to lock you up.
Yeah, that was deep. It was like the police were there and then the promoter kind of, the promoters are the ones who put on the show. And he was all, he was all mad and he would stop talking to me. And it was very strange. It was very surreal. But I guess they take that really seriously.
Yeah, apparently. I have no idea. All right. The person you've enjoyed working with the most, I guess, other than Denzel.
Let's see. The most. My friend is sitting here saying I should say her, but just because she's asking, I'm not going to say her.
Right.
Let me think.
Who's the friend? Would we know the friend? Is she a performer too?
No. In her own mind, she's
okay.
Okay. So let me think. You know, weird enough, Pharrell.
Okay.
And we've put out one song that we did together ages ago. He wasn't, no one even knew who he was yet. But every time I go in the studio with him, it never works out. But he challenges me, you know, to do interesting things. And then I did a song with Outkast, with Andre and Big Boy, called The Greatest Show on Earth.
Yeah.
That was probably my best collaboration, I think.
It's such a diverse group of people you've worked with. I heard you also, you know, you work with everyone from Dolly Parton to Outkast. It's all over the place.
Yeah, she's a dream. She's just like you see her on TV. We're at the studio. She has the hair done. She has on the heels the whole time. Like, you know, I go in the studio. First thing I do is kick off my shoes, put on a hat, you know. She's like Dolly Parton all day. It was awesome.
Hey, two more. Tell us all the reasons we need to come see you at the City Winery, but on all of your tours. What do we get from a Macy Gray show?
You're gonna be screaming and dancing. You're gonna sweat. You're gonna look at the person next to you and fall in love all over again. And you're gonna sing songs you don't even know. It's like an adventure. My shows.
All right. Best advice you have for someone who wants to follow in your footsteps?
Okay. Let's see. Advice. I'm not good on advice. Let's see. Advice. I would say, honestly, what is advice? Just to get really good at what you do. Just really master your craft. I think when people are good at what they do, people find you, you know? I think that's what makes you stand out. It's what's going to make you great. It's gonna make you get where you want to go, you know? I think you just really have to nail whatever your talent is. You really got to be the best you can be at it.
Do you?
And then everything else kind of falls into place after that.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of The Pulse with Macy Gray. I want to remind you that she told us and didn't really get a chance to expand upon her charity. It's called My Good, and it's a charity that helps individuals who have been victims of police brutality. She would love for people to do some more research on that charity and try to be supportive. I enjoyed the conversation with her. It was a conversation where you found out so many things. Like, she literally fell off her bike, looked up, saw a name, and found her stage name and continued on from there. Almost blew off a Denzel Washington film and agreed to do it because she wanted to get her picture taken with him. Just odd, but in such a positive and inspiring way. So I hope you enjoyed it. Want to remind you that if you're ever in Philadelphia and you want to watch the show, The Pulse airs Mondays at 6:30 on Fox 29. If you want to watch it nationally, 9 p.m. Mondays on Fox Soul. Make sure you're following me on social media at Bill A. Fox 29, and also subscribe to this podcast that you're listening to so you get notifications whenever a new podcast comes up. Thank you so much. Of course, we'll be back same time next week. And until then, as we always say, when you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.